Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast on the road. Yes, Norfolk's Formula One podcast is out and about in Norfolk. We're at the Rush Cutters. It's a beautiful early autumn evening. It's dark, which happened quite quickly. The moon is out. We're by the train line. Your long-time listeners will realise that we're going to probably have a train go past at some point. I'm in t-shirt, shorts and flip-flops. That's how warm it is in Norfolk in September. It's a bit balmy. My name's Michael Bailey. We are going to look ahead to the Singapore Grand Prix, and we are going to do that with the delightful company of Richard Baxter, Carl Cumbers, but first of all, Josh Raymond. Josh, this is the last time we're going to have you on the podcast.
Yep, I'm moving to London at the end of the month, so sadly that will make this seemingly impractical.
Well, we say that. We might put in the request. Well, good luck in Cheers. London. Thank you so much for joining us over the time, and obviously keep tweeting us so that we can forward those tweets to the masses as we should. And obviously, more than welcome to keep the predictions coming.
I'm very terrible at keeping up with those generally, even whilst I've been here, to be honest. Maybe I'll be better at it when I'm gone. Who knows?
It happens. It really does happen. Okay, well, let's kick on, shall we, with the podcast. But before we get stuck into looking ahead to the Singapore Grand Prix, let's touch on the latest Formula One news. Now, we had a kind of a bumper Italian Grand Prix podcast review, which you can listen to. Just head over to Audio Boom or our website, nrf1.uk, and you can listen to the podcast there. Or, of course, subscribe on iTunes, nrf1.uk/is on iTunes. That bumper podcast included the news because it was so urgent we had to deal with it then. Jenson Button's retirement. Did I almost call it a retirement? Sabbatical. Felipe Massa's retirement. And, of course, the big news with Liberty Media potentially buying their big stake in Formula One, which they now have done. And there's been a lot of stuff out there, Kyle. So teach us. What are the key points? What are they up to? Why do they want to do it? And what's it going to mean for Formula One?
Well, they obviously believe they can make money out of Formula One. It's probably their most important thing. I think they want to try and sort of develop the broadcasting, the entertainment for the fans. Hopefully crack America, finally. Being an American company, that might help. And crack other parts of the world. End of the day, they are investing to make money.
£6 billion, isn't it? £6 billion, is that right?
Like that. And I can't remember what the percentage of that is.
15%, is it something? Or have I got that wrong? 15% of CV.
CVC own 36.7%. Yeah. And also, I think they have to then bid further on. I mean, it's good. I mean, I think because new ideas will come to Formula One. And also, it's time to move on from an 86-year-old running Formula One, because eventually it needs to happen.
Unless nature takes its course. But is that actually going to happen, though?
apparently for the next 3 years he's going to hang around, which I think also probably to help them sign the new Concorde agreement, and then he might head off. But I can't really see Bernie leaving Formula One unless he's...
Go on, finish the sentence, Carl. Go on.
6 foot under.
I mean, I can't imagine F1 without Bernie, I think. I mean, it's unrecognisable since we took over. When was it, 80s?
Yeah, he sort of left Brabham, didn't he? It was early 80s.
Early 80s, and then him and Charlie and Max.
Yeah.
They reshaped that sport. It's an incredible transformation.
It will certainly be weird to have Formula One without Bernie. And I guess the interesting thing is over these 3 years, they'll do their negotiations, new Concorde agreement, what have you. What happens if Bernie doesn't agree with what they're doing, or Liberty doesn't agree with what Bernie's doing?
Who knows? In the world of Bernie Ecclestone, you can never guess what's going to happen, because you know, suddenly he might decide to turn the sprinklers on one race. Just it's no. It is like if Liberty said, right, no, we're definitely not doing that. He might just wind him up, just like, yeah,
turn
him
on. Get the hoses out.
Get the hoses out. Yeah, but Bernie says sprinklers.
That's it. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what actually changes, what doesn't change, I suppose, more. But what's been quite nice to see as well is so many teams, there's like, you know, headlines about Red Bull, and they're really pleased that the takeover has gone through, and they're really eager to see, you know, what changes can happen. So I think that's a good point. You know, it's good for the fans to see that the teams so far seem behind it, at least, although maybe not everything has been decided.
No, I got the impression that Christian Horner gave an interview and he was quite happy with what was happening. Have we heard anything from Ferrari yet?
No, we haven't actually, which is quite interesting. Because I think they, because I think they own a percentage of this group that owns the the Formula One group or whatever. And also, there's news that sort of teams may have the opportunity to buy shares in it as well, which sounds pretty good to me. But yeah, Ferrari have been quite quiet, so maybe we'll see this weekend in Singapore what. Well, Arriva Bene's been very quiet recently, isn't he? He's not been too media friendly, has he? No. So maybe he won't hear.
Because they've been shit. It's very interesting that I can't imagine. Ferrari probably have the most to lose out of all these teams, don't they? Eventually, with all the discussions about bringing things onto a more level playing field.
Certainly. I mean, their grandfathered rights are crazy when you think about it in terms of. I don't know. Does that happen in other sports? I can't imagine Man United get a preferential payment from the.
I think that performance-wise, obviously, well, yes, you do. So. But yeah, it's probably if it happened in any other sport, it'd probably be probably smack of a lack of integrity to the sport. But we're just all used to it in Formula One.
Aren't they under a European Commission anti-competition investigation?
Constantly, yeah.
Some sort of.
These things tend to get either they just put out to pasture or just dealt with. In a very ending kind of a way, which would probably be the same as Brexit, but we won't get into a political discussion right now. Who's the guy with the moustache?
Is it Chase?
That's
Carey.
Right. Chase Carey. Yes. Carey. What a moustache that is! I mean,
what a name!
It's just. Epic. I mean, Kyle's now going to get us a picture just so we can all see it while we talk about it.
He does sound like a superhero with a name like that.
He looks like one, Rich. I don't know if he can take the moustache off and put it back on again. I mean, it's the idea. Forget that your Clark Kent and Clark Kent and your glasses. Literally, you put that moustache on and then you take it off. Well, would you have the moustache on if you were the superhero, or would you have it on for your second identity?
Second identity. Okay. Yeah.
I would agree with that, yeah, because it's like a disguise then, isn't it?
I agree, yeah. I think it adds... Maybe it's got secret powers or something, I don't
know. No, that's the thing for me. You'd have the moustache because that would be the signal you're, like, firing up your secret power. Anyway...
Is it like a reborn Nigel Mansell?
Well, it's just the curly... It's the curly handlebars, isn't it? I mean, it's epic. And clearly, a guy like this running... he's not really. Is he going to be running Formula One? Do we say that?
Yeah, alongside Bernie is the plan. Yeah.
Him alongside Bernie Eccleston. I mean, what a double act! you draw them as cartoon characters, and they'd be the ideal villains, really, wouldn't they?
Vice Chair
of Fox, Holy Mother of God, alongside Bernie.
Wow, that could be spectacular.
I've just sussed it. Maybe we've all been fooled, and actually, it is Bernie, and that's his disguise. Yeah. He's just put a moustache on, and suddenly
become younger. And
He has regenerated a lot. I don't know if you can hear that. That is the. It's just a boat with a Union Jack flying past. It could be Lewis Hamilton for all we know, because it's quite dark now. But I think Lewis would be going a bit quicker, and he'd be on a jet ski anyway.
He's also connected to News Corp, the Murdoch.
Yeah, that would be the Fox connection, exactly. Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. Obviously, Sky got quite a big connection, obviously, Formula One at the moment, and Sky Deutschland, Sky Italia, and obviously Sky in Britain. So that'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Well, that sounds like another competition commission investigation, to be honest. Right. Well, that's obviously the big news. I would assume we'll see Chase Carey at Singapore. Bernie won't be there, will he? Because he said he was going to be tying up the deal. I thought that was the last thing he said, but now they've maybe tied it up, he will be there. Maybe it was Italy, I'm getting a bit confused now.
I think it would be a bit strange if he didn't turn up and sort of introduce himself to the teams and the important people in the paddock. So yeah, I expect... Also, Singapore's got a big Grand Prix for the financial side and sponsors and stuff, so probably needs to be there. But hopefully with moustache and all.
I was going to say, he needs to introduce that moustache to everyone. That's the key thing. All right then, well, I mean, that really is all the news, because that has dominated the agenda in Formula 1. It'll be great to get back to some racing, of course, in Singapore. Let me just bring you up to date with what's on the website. Well, I've promised, Rich, myself, this podcast will only go up after I've posted your blog. So head over to nrf1.uk to read Rich's latest blog. That will be on there now, because I've done the podcast, and I will do the podcast after I've done Rich's blog. It's on Formula One safety, well worth a read. And of course, nrf1.uk for all of our fun gizmos and what have you. Join us on Patreon if you can, if you enjoy what we're doing and you feel like we can continue to change Formula One for the better, as we do. Double points jokers, that's all I'm saying. I can't believe no one's picked up on that yet. In fact, to be honest, they've kind of ignored us a lot recently because there was the track limits thing, which we thought was we should be a really good idea. And
there was, I sent them a tweet last week, or I don't know if it was, I forget, but I sent them a tweet about the, having a picture in picture for the start of the race so we can watch replays while seeing actually what's happening. Didn't hear back.
No, but we might not hear back. They might just do it. So it'll be very interesting to see, because that's what happened with the tyre strategy, wasn't it? Paul Hembree never got back to you, Kyle, about your three tyre choices. Lo and behold, next season, we're all raving about how good that is. So that's what I'm saying. Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. And of course, I should flag up our channels, shouldn't I? They are Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us at the NRF1. That's a handle for both Twitter and Facebook, at the NRF1. The Swans have joined us. Hello there, Swans. They're keeping quiet. If you want to get in touch with us, send us your comments, questions, rants. We love a rant. Then NRF1 at Gmail. No, hang on. Then NRF1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, send us your audio. You can do that. You can be a part of the podcast now by just recording some audio. All you need to do is go to the website, nrf1.uk, and you'll see the red button where you can press that, record your audio away on your laptop or your device or which have you through Audio Boom, and we can include it in the next podcast. Anything you want to talk about, anything at all, following the race, following Singapore, you've just seen Chase Carey's moustache and you want to tell us how epic it is in your own words, hit the red button and tell us, and we'll make sure that that red button is up on our Facebook page and up on the Twitter feed too. Now, as part of that audio and our tweets and social section, we've had the Dats Life podcast boys get in touch, Tom and Dave. They've joined us over the last few months on the podcast, which is great to have them along. And as we kind of dealt with Jenson Button and Felipe Massa in the last podcast, I think it'd be nice if these guys took over and gave you their tributes to two Formula One legends-ish.
Greetings, NRF1. Tom and Dave here once again, bringing you our own flavour of Formula One goodness. And with the news that Felipe Massa has sadly announced his retirement, we're going to bring you a quick, accurate rendition of the radio conversation between him and Rod Smedley in that famous 2009 Malaysian race.
I need the white visor, please, come on. Need the white visor, or else I can't see anything.
Felipe, baby, stay cool. We're rigging you the visor. Stay cool, we're in a good position. Okay?
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. And me and Dave are back here to talk about him and, of course, Jenson, who will not be in the grid next year. So, Dave, what is your fondest memory of Felipe, baby?
For me, it's got to be his comeback in 2010 from his horrific accident at Hungary. Mm. So just to come back in the car after going through all of that, but basically near death, to get back in the car, back on the grid, and been in the grid since then, it takes a true courage to do that.
It takes balls, yeah. It
takes a hell of a lot of balls. So, yeah, for me, just to see him back in the car, that takes it for me. It's funny, my first impressions of Massa back in 2002 when he first joined Formula One with Sauber, I thought he was a bit rubbish.
Really?
I didn't rate him at all. I thought he was very crash prone. He seemed a bit quick, a bit arrogant. And I was so glad in 2003 when he wasn't on the grid. But then obviously he came back in 2004 and he mellowed out by then a bit. What's yours? What's your favourite?
So mine, I think the one that stands out is 2008, when he, for 1.5 turns, was world champ, and then was robbed, of course, on the line. Well, I say robbed.
Robbed. Denied.
But the fact that he still got up and he still cheered towards the crowd and he still held his trophy, you know, you could see, like, the passion that was still there. Despite the pain and the hurt, he still got up and he still still showed he's got character.
Yeah, he wore his heart on his sleeve.
And then, of course, the sort of like the sadder side was like his dad and that were all cheering when he, you know, they were like, he's won and won. And then there's a guy like going, no, no, mate, no, no, he's not one.
That there, that image is classic. It's his look of shock. So your favourite moment of Felipe is him losing the championship?
No, is the way he came back from it. Ah, the way he stood up on the podium.
Yeah, that was obviously a defining moment of modern Formula One.
And of course, JB.
What's your best memories of him?
Jenson Button wins!
Oh, no, we're not doing a rendition.
Is not my favourite memory.
A rendition of James Allen's...
I'm scarred
forced
from that.
Forced emotions.
he's like, they said he would never win a race. Jenson Button wins.
So
it's like, really, James? Really?
It's so awful.
Yeah, really. It was, ruined it a bit.
Just mute that
moment. Yeah. And then, of course, the eyes.
I was just thinking the same thing, funnily enough.
I don't know why he did that. Why is there a reason for it?
He was just going to explode if he didn't do that.
He was just high, yeah.
Just high on everything.
So what's your favourite memory?
One of my favourite races of Jensen is actually the 2011 Japanese Grand Prix. One of the only races that Jensen won legitimately in the dry, passing not only Lewis Hamilton, but also Sebastian Vettel, to win the race on pure pace, which is something that Jensen, he's more known as a wet weather specialist, but on that race day, he proved he was more than capable
he was
of
quick as well.
Mixing it in with world champions. So I'd say Jenson Button, yes, he's a world champion, but a lot of people really underrate the guy.
And we should as well say Canada, what year was it, 2011?
Oh, of course, yeah, 2011, the longest Formula One race in history.
And that pass on the final lap.
People these days say it was a lucky win, but to go from last to first after a stupid amount of pit stops and penalties, you've got to be
incredible.
Someone just a little bit special. Yeah, absolutely.
Cracking win.
That was one of the few races in modern history that I actually jumped up and down like a 10-year-old. Watching that race. That was incredible. It gave me the same feeling I did when I watched Damon Hill won the Belgian Grand Prix in 98.
Thanks for having us on the show once again. We've been That's Life. Back to you guys.
Well done, Dave. Well done, Tom. Much appreciated. Thank you so much. Okay, Singapore Grand Prix, everyone. As you mentioned earlier, Carl, this is where business gets done, apart from Monaco and apart from Italy. It's a night race. It's the Monaco of non-European. I mean, the European season's already done, which is remarkable how quickly that came around. Yet the race is always a bit weird, isn't it, Singapore? We did have a good one last year, but...
Yeah, it's grown on me over the years, I think. I can't imagine I was the biggest fan of it when it started, but it's... since it's a challenging circuit, it seems to catch people out. But yeah, it's a strange one, I agree.
It looks very straight lines and 45, 90 degree angle corners.
I've always really enjoyed it, don't I? Maybe because it looks so good.
It does look spectacular.
Yeah. I think that's it. And it's such a hard race for the drivers because it's nearly 2 hours, pretty much 2 hours long. And it's obviously so hot in Singapore and...
I suppose that's one thing that's not really conveyed, particularly because it's at night. You just think, cold. Yeah. And then you... I've been to Singapore, it's not cold. It's never cold.
Lucky boy going to Singapore.
Yeah, and also last year it was probably the most bizarre race of the season because Mercedes were... Well, they weren't slow because they were fifth and sixth in qualifying, which obviously isn't slow. But they were second and a half off the pace in qualifying, so, and at the time they had no idea why they were second and a half off, so.
And it was just one race as well, wasn't it, pretty much?
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah. I remember them going...
Remember the race now, Josh.
I remember them kind of, everyone going quite crazy afterwards, going, well, why were they slow? Yeah.
could it be that the championship is on?
No. I was reading some quotes afterwards, and they were asking Vettel if he could still win the championship at the time, and all and this and that, and obviously, I think the next race was in Japan, and... They walked away with it, and that was it. But it'll be interesting to see if they've. They said at the time, "Well, we think we've found out the problem," but because it seems such a unique race, they probably won't know until they rock up on Friday. So we could be in for a well, 3-team battle, possibly, if McLaren get involved, 4-team battle. But
and we had the man on the track, didn't we, as well, last year?
Yeah, the guy who just seems to be wandering home from the pub and wondering what's going on his usual walk home. It's just like, what's this Barry? I'll hop over this.
He's British as well, wasn't he? Was that him?
He was had British citizenship.
I wonder where he is now. Did he go to prison? Is he still in prison? Maybe we shouldn't discuss this. But I wonder where he is now. If anyone wants to let us know, you know all the channels. Let us know. I'll have to have a little Google of that.
Or if he's listening, then he can head to the website and press the button and give his own thoughts and tell us what he was doing.
Man on the track. If you just let us know your thoughts. NRF1.UK. Press the red button. Love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Richard would definitely love to hear from you. All right, then, well, most important weekend for then. I suppose Seb will be hoping that there's no man on the track in front of him. There's a man on the track. Who is this most important? I mean, I've kind of realised that thanks to what happened in Italy, my prediction of when the Drivers' Championship might end might not come true now, because it's 2 points, isn't it, between the two of them? Is that right? 2 points between Nico and Lewis. Anyway, is it most important for someone else or one of those two?
We pretty much always say either Lewis or Nico, whichever one didn't win the last race.
which is the problem with a two-man or two-driver championship challenge, really.
So, I mean, it could be Red Bull and Ferrari. I think be an opportunity for them to have a race win. Even McLaren, they keep going on about how great the chassis is, and sort of races like this will suit them, so maybe for them. So it's probably sort of all three of them, really, to sort of, I think they need to, rest of the races Mercedes should be okay, but if they have the problems like they did last year, then it is an opportunity for them and they need to take it.
I read an article today and Jenson Button said he thinks with the upgrades McLaren are bringing for the rest of the season, he thinks they could be competing with Ferrari.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Has he been saying that for two seasons, though?
Wow. Well, clearly he's in a very happy mood because he's retiring. I'm sorry, sabbatical. He's on that sabbatical.
Well, yeah. Got to get that right. But, I mean, no, he said that. For me, every race at the end of the season is the most important for McLaren, just because now he said that.
Yeah.
Because it puts a pressure on them, and if they don't, then it's not going to be looking good for next season.
Well, maybe he's raising expectations so that when they're not great next season, he'll look even better in 2018. I don't know. There seems to be something on about that. How about you, Josh?
I was just thinking maybe Kvyat. I mean, the net's closing in on his season. Is he contracted?
What a shocking season it's been. Let's be honest.
Contracted for next year? I don't know.
Probably to Red Bull. Yeah.
It's got to be. I mean, at the end of the day, he put in some very good performances against, and Ricciardo's no slouch. So to be able to stack up against him in any respect, I think it's understandable that psychologically he may not be completely there at the moment, which would be why his performance is suffering. Because at the end of the day, look at how his replacement, how that has, you know, with Max, how that well that has gone, or not well in places, but still. I think it's. The end of his season is becoming more and more critical, because as far as I'm aware, nothing really has stood out so far for him.
No.
Is he beating Sainz? I don't know.
He's had a shocker since he's.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just his attitude around on the radio and when the media pens and stuff is just a man that just doesn't want to be there.
It's got to be tough, though. You know, you spend your entire career kind of on the up.
Yeah.
And this is the down. In many respects, he won. He got promoted very quickly. He was very young when he got into a Formula One seat. Then got promoted into the main team. Everything is going for you. It's very hard to perhaps deal with such public and dramatic failure. To be dropped mid-season is Red Bull do it quite regularly, but yeah. It's still a big.
And he's still so young, and he did get dropped after he finished on the podium. I mean, that's a remarkable thing, really. Obviously, it was a race afterwards, wasn't it? But
yeah, he sort of. He finished
third.
He crashed into the back of Vettel, didn't he? Yeah, which was probably the pressure of the home race in a car that was at the front.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's still 21. Yeah. I mean, Lewis Hamilton didn't even start his career until he was 22. I mean,
Damon Hill was probably running around on a bike, wasn't he? Actually,
I think so. Yeah, he started late. He was very late actually coming to the sport. So I can't remember the age, but I've got a feeling something are in his 30s. So
in his 30s by the time he got to
F1. I was going to say 33 I have in my head, but maybe that was when he won the Drivers' Championship. I can't remember. But I mean, the sport's a little bit different now, let's be fair. But yeah, great shout there. I was going to mention Sergio Perez because there's clearly a bit of talk that Williams would like him. But will he go to Williams? He seems quite happy at Force India. I guess he's a man who, if he gets this race right, but the next few, then he could, you know, hopefully have a really good drive for next year in one way or another. Not that there's many seats above him, really, are there?
No, I think Williams would be a bit of a sideways step, but obviously depends on obviously his backing and where he's backing his Carlos Slim Jr., who seems to back him, maybe wants him to go. Williams would probably like him because they're probably missing out on Massa's money from Brazil, but then they might be promoting this young Lance Stroll, who's
Stroll's earmarked for that seat, isn't he?
Yeah, and his dad is unbelievably rich, isn't he? So,
is he any good?
He's winning the Formula 3 Europe, or he's in the top three, I think, at the moment.
I did see some analysis of his career so far, and they've been making parallels to Max and saying he's a year younger. So,
oh, the new Max! That's amazing, isn't it? Max is what, 12, and this guy is what, 11? Oh, dear Lord! Amazing.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I don't know how well he's doing, and I know he's had so much money thrown at him, whereas Max, I don't think, had the greatest budget. I mean, by Formula One standards, we're talking about, not by general. But
so I was also saying, it's quite interesting with Williams that Bottas, we haven't heard any confirmation that Bottas is staying next year. Is he looking to get away? Has he had his time at McLaren and maybe looking at Renault, possibly, as a works team? It seems quite strange. We've got to this point and we've heard nothing regarding sort of Bottas at Williams. But
even if you hear things, sometimes they're not actually true. Or, you know, something gets confirmed and then it gets switches. That's the way in Formula One. The thing about the Singapore Grand Prix for me is it was always the one where, didn't it all go wrong for Lewis Hamilton while he was at McLaren? And that was the point when he decided, you know what, sod this, I'm off to Mercedes. That wasn't a bad decision in the end, was it? So there we go. All right, well, we can look forward to the racing. But shall we, in the meantime, get on with the main business? Now, confession. I haven't quite managed to get totally up to date with the prediction league. All the predictions are stored away, but we haven't got an up to date table. But I can tell you, it's probably epically close. Epically close. And
except for me. No. I'm not doing very good.
Oh, Rich. All right. Well, thanks for being honest. Basically, all the predictions that you've made, guys, I'm keeping a proper tabs on them, and the table will be updated in time for the next review. I solemnly swear. So that doesn't mean, though, we can't go head first into our Singapore Grand Prix predictions. So, as Rich gets his phone out to see what he's written down beforehand, Josh, your last podcast, I feel like you should go ahead and tell us your predictions for the Singapore Grand Prix. Make them good.
I feel like I want to predict a non-Mercedes win just out of hope.
He's gone rogue.
I'm going out of hope. I'll put a Vettel win.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, let's go for that. But obviously Rosberg second, Hamilton third.
You could go Jensen if you want. Apparently they're going to be challenging Ferrari now.
I think there'll be a McLaren retirement.
Damn but those upgrades.
But the other one will finish in the top 10, marginally above where they would have done otherwise.
Oh.
So, you know, better.
Yeah.
That's probably the first time I've predicted them to get points.
Yeah.
But probably 9th or 10th. Yeah, that's how it goes. I don't really have any other predictions off the top of my head. I may think of some more whilst you guys are going.
Think of one little crazy one and we'll come back to you at the end of the predictions after me. Rich, you're chomping at the bit. Champing at the bit, I can see.
Yeah, I managed to write some down during my lunch break today.
Yes.
So
preparation is key.
It is sometimes. Except this season, only twice the whole season have I got more than two predictions right.
Oh.
And I usually make about five, so it's not going great.
Let's have a look. What was the last well, I've got you down as about a third, 30% from a few weeks ago. 30%. Steve and Kyle are way ahead of most people. Sam Todd doing very well. Anyway, carry on, Rich, sorry.
But the trick is to go big. Oh. So
that's your trick. I don't know if it's the trick.
I'm going to say Ricciardo to win the race. I'm putting the Italian out of the bag there again as well. I'm going to say...
And then let's just say, Rich is our national anthems correspondent now, although he admitted, as I think you admitted last week on the podcast, you haven't heard the Singapore national anthem, maybe since last year.
I've heard it, but I can't remember what it is. And to be honest, the only food that I know which is vaguely related to Singapore is Singapore fried rice.
Right, well, I'm sure that's definitely bona fide. but if you want to hear that, we've clipped together a separate podcast. Just head over to Audio Boom and search for the NRF1 podcast. There's a short list and you'll be able to hear what we're going on about. It's basically all in last week's podcast and involved the Italian national anthem. And God Save the Queen, it must be said. But there we go. Anyway, carry on, Rich.
So, second prediction for for this race. I'm going to say a double points finish for McLaren. I'm back in them.
Screw you, Josh.
I'm going to say one Mercedes to retire from the race.
Oh, do you want to say which one?
No. Just one of them, the silver one. I'm going to say someone to suffer an engine blow. Just bang, and this is a bit of a safe one, but there will be a safety car period. I say safe, but every time I predicted that, it's not happened. So
virtual or real actual?
Either. Is that allowed?
It's been one in every year, hasn't there? So I've read some statistic that there's been a safety car in every single Singaporean.
Is that right, Rich? I reckon you'd know.
I honestly didn't know that, so.
I'm just thinking, if one of the Mercedes retires with an engine blow up, you can probably have a bonus point for that, because that would be like double bubble, wouldn't it?
If you're offering me double points for something, then I'm going to take it at this stage.
It's a joker. Dan, he's putting away his phone.
That's my lot.
That is his lot. Kyle.
I'm also going to go for a non-Mercedes win. I think Ricciardo will be on pole position. My top three will then be Vettel.
You mean Ricciardo,
Sorry. Vettel will win. Hamilton will be second. And Ricciardo will be third. There'll be a McLaren in the points and a Renault in the points.
Oh! I kept predicting Renault to be in the points and they just absolutely dog.
I think it'll be Palmer in the points because he deserves a bit of luck because he's.
Really?
Well. I think he's been lucky recently, so.
Not a fan?
Oh, no, not a fan. Just I would have pinned Magnussen for points out of the two of them.
Oh. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Josh says Magnussen points.
Yeah. There'll be a red flag in the race. Got a little bit further than the safety car.
Sure. Rich is kicking himself.
And Massa will have a very mediocre end to his Formula 1 career and he will crash into the wall this weekend.
That's going out with a bang, surely.
Is that
going
to end his career? Is that what you think? Oh god, no, let's not predict that. No, let's not predict that. But okay, Massa in the wall. Poor Felipe. So that leaves me, doesn't it? Well, this non Mercedes victory rubbish. Lewis Hamilton will win the race. He'll also be on pole. There goes the train. I can confirm 6 carriages, 4 with lights on. There you go. For all you train spotters out there, it was a definite train. That's all I've got. So Lewis is going to win it and he's going to be on pole. Hell, probably fastest lap. I think he's just going to deliver it and go, screw you guys. I'm going to say that Sergio Perez will be in the top 6 because I brought him up earlier, so I have to deliver on that. I think Chase Carey's going to wow everyone with his moustache. I think that's a bona fide banker, that one. Jenson Button's going to finish ahead of Fernando Alonso. He's going to finish in the points. He's going to finish in the top 8. Oh, gosh, do I really believe that? Well, I've said it now. And how about one down the bottom? Let's say that Sauber. See, I haven't seen Sauber in a week. They literally disappeared.
They've done their traditional thing, which is do quite well in the first few races of the season and tail that nosedive. As if you look at a lot of Sauber's years, that is their traditional model.
I reckon Marcus Ericsson will not finish in the top 15, and I reckon that Felipe Nasr will not finish because he is struggling.
Isn't it disappointing? They're both very good drivers, and yet.
Are they though?
I think they're okay. I think they're both good drivers, and I mean, particularly Nasr, I was really impressed with him in GP2, and he's just anonymous in Sauber. And Sauber seems a good enough team that people will go, well, he should have done better, but could you? I don't know.
I'm mentoring Nasser, of course. He was the Williams test driver previous to the Sauber drive. So if they're looking for a bit of funding, because I know he's backed as well, maybe Williams will get him in Brazilian to
good shout, Rich. Good shout.
And
Rich.
Nearly the same name as well, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. They wouldn't have to do much changing at all, would they? I like that.
Sauber actually came out the last few days and said they'll just, based on the new drivers, will be based on talent and not money. But obviously, that's a little bit weird because Ericsson's mates bought Sauber, so that doesn't quite make sense.
Then they have to say that, don't they? Look at this really talented driver we found. He's the one from last year. But he is honorary Norfolkian, so we shouldn't be too harsh on Marcus, but it's a lot of money. A lot of money behind him.
I've figured my ad prediction.
Yes.
It is going to be two safety car periods, one of which caused by Max Verstappen.
Oh, wow, that's highly specific. Rich, do you mind trying to work out if that actually happens during the race?
I can work that out, because if you think about Monaco, he's very quick, but he is prone to making mistakes. And Singapore isn't dissimilar. It's got a few more runoff areas and corners, but they're still very tight. So that could be a good shout.
I love it. I like that one. Well, we're done, aren't we, with that predictions? If you guys out there want to join in the predictions, it's dead straightforward. Just tweet them to us. That tends to be the best way, at the NRF1. Copy us in on that. Tweet them to us, but just make sure you tweet them to us before the start of FP1. That's the only rule. Other than that, they are included. You'll end up in our table, and of course we will publish the table towards the end of the season. Actually, we'll start making sure that that's available on the website, and you can see where you'd sit in the league. Bear in mind, it does include a very complicated algorithm. There goes
I think that was the same one that went that way, wasn't it?
It was definitely train. I don't know. I thought it was a carriage fewer. Only three with lights on that one.
I wasn't really counting, but it made the same noise and it looked the same, so.
Yep. That's pretty much how we watch Formula One as well, basically. What was I saying before that? I'm sure it was really important, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Get your predictions in and find yourself included in our prediction league. And as I promise that the table will be updated as we go on beyond Singapore. And check out the website, nrf1.uk, if you want to see what we're doing there. But Kyle, Rich, thank you for joining me tonight. Josh, thank you for joining us over the years. And if you're ever back in Norfolk, you know where we are. Probably not down the pub, but, you know, when we can be. And good luck in London, in the smoke. Let us know when the London Grand Prix kicks off. Yeah?
Cheers. Yeah. Well, there is the electric Grand Prix, isn't there? The Formula E.
Formula E. Are you going to keep karting?
Yeah, definitely. I was at Anglesey a week ago, which went okay.
Sorry, could you just imagine a karting race around London?
Oh, God, that would be amazing. I'd love to.
You'd be straight in that, wouldn't you? Crystal Palace.
Yeah, the circuit there is amazing.
Wowzers. Well, maybe we should make that an outing while you're in London. We can all stay around yours and go karting. Yeah. Go on, Rich.
There is the French guy people probably seen on YouTube who did Mario Kart on the streets of Paris.
Oh, I've seen that video.
So you never know. You can maybe just not legally do it. I mean, I'm not saying you should, obviously, because we're very responsible.
Yes.
But
Do it.
We'll dig out that video and pop it up on the feeds. I think that seems only right. Right. Well, there we go then. Let's wrap this up. Enjoy Singapore and all of the shenanigans. Enjoy Chase Carey's moustache. We all have. And we'll see you on the other side of Singapore. Let's see what it dishes up for us all. Until then, good night.